Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for being with us this week. On this week's program, we'll hear from Shelby Ellison, faculty associate in the Department of Horticulture at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. We'll also hear from James D. Decker, director of Michigan State University Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center, as well as Philip Alberti, extension educator in commercial agriculture at the University of Illinois Extension. So let's get things started with Shelby Ellison. Shelby, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here. So tell us what's going on in Wisconsin, specifically there with the University of Wisconsin in Madison. How are you guys involved in the hemp industry? What are you guys doing up there to further the cause in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so this is actually going to be our second year kind of doing hemp research at the university. So We have 1 year under our belt, which helps a lot, just learning the industry kind of the ins and outs. So it's going to be a lot of continuing on with what we did last year. So we have people working on all types of hemp. So we have variety trials for both grain and fiber hemp, as well as looking at some nitrogen use and seeding density within that fiber and grain hemp. Those research trials are being headed up by Dr. Rodrigo Worley in the Department of Agronomy. He's part of Extension. And then we're going to be doing a lot of the cannabinoid variety trials, so the CBD and CBG cultivars that I'll be heading up those variety trials. So we put out a call for seed, and we had lots of people that were very interested in getting in those variety trials this year. Hmm. And that's really neat because we're doing those in collaboration with several different institutes across the Midwest. So we'll have the same varieties working up in Michigan State, as well as with the Michael Fields Ag Institute, running the same varieties to see how they perform.
Okay, well, thanks for setting the stage there. So now we understand what's going on up there. But let's talk about you, Shelby. What got you interested? You said this is the second year the University of Wisconsin in Madison is involved with the hemp industry. You guys got involved last year. When did you actually get involved? Was it the university that pulled you into it, or did you have an interest in hemp before that?
You know, I was actually already at the university. I've been there for several years working in carrot breeding and genetics, interestingly. And
You said carrot as in like the rabbits eat the carrots, carrot breeding?
Carrot breeding.
And what do we hope how are we going to improve the carrot? So you're saying there's improvements still to come. We have better carrots in the future. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. You can improve anything. So in carrots, it's really neat. When you look at them, the color you see, it's like a direct correlation with the nutritional benefit. So the darker orange a carrot is, the more beta carotene it has, as well as all different colors, purple and red and yellow. We're breeding all of those different colors. And then you always have to have the good agronomic traits. So it has to perform well and have good disease resistance.
That's great. So you were involved in the carrot breeding.
So that
led to hemp.
Yes. And I saw, you know, that hemp, I knew that hemp was considered legal in several states. And I saw with the 2018 Farm Bill that it was likely we're going to be able to grow it in Wisconsin. And I was really interested also in developing a course at UW-Madison that would draw students into the plant sciences and get them to know more about horticulture and agronomy. So I thought I would develop a course based around industrial hemp. And so in order to learn more about industrial hemp, I decided I need to grow it myself and learn more about it. And because I did that, the university, about a year ago in the spring of 2019, they also realized that there was lots of hemp happening in the state of Wisconsin, and they asked me if I wanted to come on in the university as someone to help with hemp extension efforts to be able to tell Wisconsin growers how to grow hemp and create educational resources.
Well, that's fantastic. Do you think the University of Wisconsin in Madison would be involved if you hadn't already been growing or been interested in it?
I think they would have, but I did teach a class through UW-Madison this spring semester, which I developed from scratch. So I give myself some credit for that class.
Well, and that's just great to hear that. That's a great story that you took the initiative to bring it to the university as far as making it a class, having the foresight to see that that the farmers in Wisconsin were going to be interested in growing this crop. So you needed to kind of be in the forefront of it. So that's a great story. We really do appreciate that, Shelby. Now let's talk about some of the farmers there that you deal with. Do you deal hands-on with the farmers or in the research side? Are you one step removed from them? Or are you actually out there walking the fields? How does that work?
Yeah, so with hemp, it's definitely dealing a lot with the farmers because, in other crops, you know more about it. You've been working in it for a long time. With hemp, no one's really an expert right now, so mm-hmm. We all kind of need to rely on each other. So for me last year, it was going to lots of different farmers' fields, learning what they were doing, taking notes on what seemed to work, what didn't work. I was involved in a national survey looking at what research we need to focus on moving forward at the universities. And that was just asking farmers, what are the biggest issues you're having? What should we focus on moving forward? So it was a lot of communicating with them.
Well, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, that's all.
Okay. And of course, there's two sides that the farmers have to look at. On one side, they're looking at bringing in and creating a new crop, a new industry for the country. On the other hand, they've got to make a profit, or the idea is to make a profit. So mm-hmm. Did you see a lot of disgruntled farmers at the end of the season, the growing season, that either failed at growing the hemp or they grew it but couldn't sell it? Did you see much of that? And if you did, did that hamper or dampen their spirits for doing it again this year?
Yeah, I definitely know that there were quite a few failures last year, both at the, it's the first time growing a plant. A lot of people, went headfirst and grew probably a little bit more than they should have for a first-time crop. Mm-hmm. But separate from that, it definitely was more on the market side that was the bigger issue. So a lot of people grew really nice crops. They did everything right. They had it all stored and bucked and nicely dried in their storage sheds, and then they didn't have any place to take it. So I think that's what has left kind of the bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths mm-hmm. from last year. It's really, really interesting. So I know that earlier on, the numbers in Wisconsin for the number of licenses were similar between 2020 and 2019. But I don't know if they've kept up with that after COVID-19. I think that they started to fall behind a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be interesting to see how many people actually plant this year. And, for a new crop as it is, it's going to be interesting to see, if a bunch of people don't plant this year or they diversify into more things like grain and fiber. Maybe the market will stabilize a little bit better and turn around.
So you're saying that a lot of the, I don't know if you can put a percentage on it, but a majority of those farmers were growing for the idea of CBD as opposed to grain and fiber?
Yes, I believe that it was well over 90% in the state
wow.
of Wisconsin last year.
Wow. Wow. What drove that? That's a pretty broad or big difference there, 90% and only 10% for grain and fiber. Do you think that a lot of those are going to some of those are going to move over to the grain and fiber side?
I do. I still think that CBD or CBG, cannabinoids will be the majority of what people grow for. I think last year it was driven by the idea of the profit. They were new and they're was the idea that you could make a very large profit if you grew and were able to sell those materials, which, the market then flooded because lots of people had the same idea. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. This year, people aren't as excited because they don't think that they're going to necessarily make $50,000 an acre like last spring. But it will be interesting if there are fewer people who are growing it and, if things change, like, at the FDA level, if CBD can be put into food and beverages or other products, that could change things around very quickly. And I do think that a lot more people will be testing the waters for the grain and fiber side of things as those industries slowly become more infrastructure is integrated and products are developed.
And once again, we're speaking with Shelby Ellison. Shelby is a faculty associate in the Department of Horticulture at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And Shelby, you said you planted hemp yourself last year. How much did you plant and how did that turn out for you? How did that experiment go?
So it was truly an experiment. So it was my own little mini variety trial that I ran. I had 7 different varieties and I grew 148 plants. So
okay.
I kept it very small, but it was good. I definitely learned a lot in the process. And as I said, so this year I'm going to be planting 1.5 acres of variety trials across the state. So that's going to be a much larger scale. But I learned a lot doing it last year. And I also learned that there are extreme differences in varieties. So these variety trials are very important to conduct. If we want to make recommendations to growers, we need to know what does well here.
All right. Again, Shelby Ellison. Shelby, let's talk about the University of Wisconsin-Madison. As you said, you were interested in hemp. Then they came to you and said, hey, we really need to implement this and get involved in this. You want to talk about some of the folks at the University of Wisconsin-Madison that are pioneering this and are pushing the hemp industry?
Yeah, definitely. So certainly very early on, the university extension realized that people in Wisconsin were interested in growing hemp, and they kicked in some money to be able for a lot of the researchers at the university to be able to do these variety trials and basic agronomic studies looking at, you know, how do you plant this stuff? What's the planting density? How do you harvest it appropriately? So in UW Extension, as well as the College of Agriculture and Life Science, both found or recognized that it was important to get some research going so we could help. The Wisconsin idea at our university is what we do at the university has to be transferred and useful to the people of the state and elsewhere. So They recognized that early on. There's lots of people in extension across the different counties that have been involved and have helped out with doing regional trialing and different types of research, as well as being the people on the ground talking to farmers, finding out what the issues are, going in those fields, identifying what pests are the most prevalent. And I mentioned earlier my colleague Rodrigo Worley, who's in the Department of Agronomy, kind of heading up the grain and fiber research. So we work very closely together since it's all the same plant.
Right.
So we kind of keep each other in the loop. And certainly when there are things like field days or events regarding hemp or relating to hemp, we work very closely together to make sure that we're working together and not doing any sort of making sure our research is all synergistic.
Right. Well, you mentioned working together. Just today on the program, we've got 3 different folks from the Midwest. We're covering Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois. And you guys all do work together. So why don't you talk about that a little bit, how you guys are reaching out to the states around the Midwest?
Yeah, and that's relatively new, too, which is really neat. So now that we all kind of learned a little bit about our states in the past year or two, we kind of realized that the Midwest, we have a similar climate and similar crops grow here and a similar mindset for the most part. So for hemp, we definitely saw that we need to work together to really make headway in this crop. So together with Illinois Extension and Michigan State Extension, as well as Purdue, we've been working on kind of developing uniform procedures for how we're going to collect data. So that could be anything from the traits that we're collecting in the field, as well as collecting samples for cannabinoid analysis. Mm-hmm. So we've been developing these procedures. We're working together. As I mentioned earlier, there's with Jared DeDecker at the Michigan State Extension, we're going to be running a lot of the same varieties in our variety trials this year. And of course, things like this, we're all producing various educational material, and they're all doing a great job. So I'm very quick to point people to those references and resources because, yeah, they're very relevant and might as well.
and you mentioned Purdue University. Marguerite Bolt has certainly gone above and beyond and done a great job there since I could be wrong, but I believe she just joined about a year ago, but the work she has done is very impressive.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. So the amount of efforts that some of these education and extension efforts that happen in the websites like Margarita's developed and the webinars and all of these resources are just excellent. So cheers to all of them for all of their hard work.
All right. And Shelby, we'll let you go here with maybe two more questions. I always say one more question and then there's always another follow-up, but, but we'll start to wind this down with your thoughts on the upcoming hemp season. Of course, last year there was a bit of a problem with the weather. This year we've got the coronavirus. Fortunately, the farmers, that's not keeping them from getting out in the fields. But what's your outlook for this season? On the growing side, we have no idea on the economic side what's going to happen. But on the growing side, do you feel good about this year?
So I feel that the people that are going to be growing hemp this year are going to have a little bit more experience and know a little bit more when things are problematic where to turn to. So I think farmers are probably going to be producing really good crops this year, both on the CBD side as well as getting into the grain side. You know, the grain is harder with how wet we've had in Wisconsin. We've had some very wet falls the 2 years we could grow hemp. So fingers crossed we won't have a three-peat, but I think farmers are getting really good at growing hemp. I think the market is still going to be really up in the air, but I do think with fewer people growing this year and diversifying what they're growing, hopefully there'll be some new avenues for profitability.
Well, let's certainly keep our fingers crossed and hope that that does come into fruition for the farmers. Once again, Shelby Ellison. Shelby, is there anything else that we need to hit on that we haven't touched on today?
I would just say that we have an extension website through UW-Madison. If you type in UW-Madison Extension Hemp, you can see it, and we'll be putting up publications there from our research trials as well as upcoming events, be it webinars or whatever virtual events will be occurring in the next month or so. Just check us out there, and you can also find my contact information there.
Okay, and that was UW-Madison.
Yeah, UW-Madison Extension Hemp.
Okay, UW-Madison Extension Hemp. Excellent. Once again, Shelby Ellison, faculty associate in the Department of Horticulture with the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Shelby, it was a great conversation. We learned a lot, and we really do appreciate all your efforts and everything you've done to help push along this industry.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, as we continue on, we're speaking with James D. Decker, the director of Michigan State University Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center. Boy, that's a mouthful, James. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, Jason.
All right, great. Thanks for being with us on the program here. Now, up there, Michigan State University Upper Peninsula, that's beautiful country up there.
It is. It's really lovely up here. I've only been a UPR for just over a year now. I started January a year ago at the Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center. But prior to that, I lived in Northern Lower Peninsula. So definitely appreciate the wild landscapes that we have up here.
And of course, right now, you guys seem to be suffering the brunt of the lockdown here with the COVID situation. We'll get to hemp here in just a second. But is that I guess we'll get to it right now. Is that hampering any of the preparations for this spring?
It has been a challenge to try to mitigate the risk of COVID while pursuing our research interests with hemp and otherwise. But Michigan State University has taken a pretty measured approach as far as approving individual research projects as essential so that we can move forward with our work. And thankfully, our hemp projects this year have been approved to continue. And so we're pretty much on time, on schedule for the season as we intended to be.
Now, James, you said you've been up there in that position for a little over a year now. What got you personally involved in the hemp industry?
Well, I've been interested in hemp for a number of years. I guess it started mostly in 2014 with the 14 Farm Bill and the possibility of conducting research on hemp that opened up. Unfortunately, Michigan was not able to pursue hemp research from 2014 until 2018. In 19, we had our first year of the pilot research program in the state, and we had our first plantings and research projects last year. So it was nice that we finally got there, but it took us a while. Prior to that, from 2014 to 19, I attended conferences and read as much as I could and did other things to prepare, but had my first hands-on experience with the crop just last year.
And did you enter this position because of the hemp situation there in Michigan, or were you hired or up there for a different reason and then kind of morphed into this?
No, UPREC's research program is actually quite diverse. We run an integrated crop and livestock research program here that includes both commodity field crops and specialty crops as well. So hemp is just one small part of our research portfolio here at UPREC and for Michigan State University as well. So it's been certainly an interesting, exciting part of the work that I do, but it is a minor portion of it.
And did Michigan State University, the Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center, were they already involved in hemp when you got there? Did they bring you there to do that, or what was the catalyst in them latching onto this?
No, actually, I advocated to be able to pursue this line of inquiry with hemp as part of assuming the position here at UPREC. Prior to that, MSU had not conducted hemp research, but I knew coming out of my former role with extension and field crops for MSU that hemp was definitely a hot topic. There was a lot of interest in the grower community. As an extension educator, prior to this, I was getting several calls, emails, other inquiries on a real regular basis all the way since 2014. And so it's been very clear to me that the demand for information is there, and our job at Extension is really to look at what grower needs are, what they're sharing in terms of their priorities, and then act on that with research and education. And so that was really why I decided to pursue hemp work here last year. And I would say, though, that there was some interest in the grower community in the Upper Peninsula, even if it wasn't really on the radar necessarily for MSU. There's a group here called the Growing UP Ag Association. It's a group of growers that really advocate for UP agriculture and help set priorities for research and extension work that we do. And they had in their priorities looking at new novel crops like industrial hemp prior to my starting here in the Upper Peninsula. So that, I guess, was an example of kind of the groundswell of demand here specifically in the UP. But it wasn't really necessarily a priority for Michigan State until we really got started a year ago.
Now, James, when a lot of us think of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the furthest a lot of us have been is maybe Mackinac City. I know I've been to Sault Ste. Marie, but you guys are nowhere near that. You guys are still further north and maybe a little west of that, correct?
Correct. We're in the central Upper Peninsula, Alger County, and our research facility here is in Chatham, Michigan. We are a ways away from some of those key destinations that tourists like to visit. But it's an interesting point, I guess, as far as agriculture goes, because a lot of people don't think about agriculture as a big part of the picture in the Upper Peninsula, because they do visit for those natural wonders, if you will.
Well, and when you look at the map, you see nothing but forest area, national forest area up there. So, but right. You guys were able to tuck in some farmland as well.
Yeah, we actually have quite a bit of agricultural land in the Upper Peninsula. The majority of it is dedicated to forage and livestock production, mainly cattle, but we do produce some annual crops as well. Up north, where I'm located here, a lot of our annual crops would be small grains like oats or barley. we don't grow much for other commodities like corn or soybean in this part of the country. And so I think that was part of the reason why there was some skepticism that hemp and grain hemp in particular would be a fit in the UP. But we found that there's a number of varieties that can perform quite well here. And we had pretty good yields last year. So I think some of that skepticism is waning as we're showing that it is possible to produce hemp even in real high latitude environments like ours.
Does the weather have any, is the weather up there different than the rest of Michigan? You guys are further north than parts of Canada. Does that have any effect on the agriculture there?
So, yeah, obviously weather plays a big part in what we can do in agriculture. And the biggest limitation in Upper Peninsula is really in terms of temperature and growing degree day accumulation. So we have a pretty short growing season and we have a relatively cool growing season compared to other parts of Michigan or a lot of the Midwest. Another factor that's important for hemp in particular is our latitude and day length. So for photoperiod sensitive genotypes of hemp, it's critical that you have the right day lengths or you understand what genotypes to plant relative to your day length and photoperiod so that you have flowering occurring at the right time.
All right. And then the other thing I guess I would ask is, given the weather up there and your shorter growing season, do you have more people interested in the greenhouse effect or using greenhouse for hemp?
Yes, we did see some folks that grew hemp in controlled environments last year, whether that is a heated greenhouse or an unheated high tunnel. And certainly season extension is a big part of what we need to do in agriculture in the Upper Peninsula to grow many crops. So part of the work that we do here at UpRec is focused on organic vegetable systems, and season extension is a critical part of that. And those principles carry over for hemp as well. I will say, though, that some of the farms that I know that did both, some field-grown hemp and some high-tunnel hemp, actually felt like they had better results in the field-grown situations, mm-hmm. even here in the UP. So that was a little bit surprising to see. But I do know that a number of growers commented on that type of experience last year. So I don't know that greenhouse will be a real big push for hemp in Michigan. I do think about controlled growing environments specifically for addressing pollination issues in hemp grown for cannabinoid production to try to avoid pollination and keep that crop seed free and increase the cannabinoid yield in those systems. So that might be a reason why people would go inside, even if mm-hmm. it's not necessary for, you know, other reasons.
Well, James, you do deal with the farmers up there. What kind of feedback were you getting from the farmers at the end of the growing season last year?
Sure. So we did a lot of outreach on hemp this last winter across the state. And so I had an opportunity to interact with a lot of growers and prospective growers and get a sense of their experience last year and their plans for this year. And it was clear to me that people learned a lot along the way in terms of actually producing hemp. But I think that more of the concerns are quickly turning to marketing. Mm-hmm. And how do we market our product in a way that's profitable for producers? And so I think, you know, there were a lot of discussion about barriers in terms of input costs, you know, feminized seed for cannabinoid production, for example, labor, the intense amount of labor, particularly harvest and post-harvest in cannabinoid production systems. A lot of concerns about facilities and equipment, particularly for drying hemp. And I think, though, that farmers are used to overcoming challenges like that. So, you know, farmers are pretty ingenious in terms of what they can come up with to address those agronomic barriers, mm-hmm. but they need a stable market. They need a price that they can count on when they're producing a crop so that they can figure out their budgets and their cost of production and ensure that it's going to be a sustainable venture for them. And that's where I think hemp has really struggled, is the volatility in terms of demand and the marketplace and prices as a result. So I think a lot of people, a lot of growers that I spoke with over the winter had a lot of product yet to sell. And that seemed to push interest in vertical integration. Seemed like every grower I spoke to was, on the CBD side anyway, was preparing to either process their own crop or have a contractor process their crop, and then trying to bring that processed material back to their business and create value-added products that they would then market themselves. And it's a strategy, certainly, and I think it is an okay strategy in the near term until the market kind of matures and settles down. But it's hard to do everything, and particularly for farmers, a lot of farmers are not adept at maybe the processing piece or the marketing of the marketing skills required to go out and sell your own CBD products. And so I think it is a real challenge for a number of growers.
And James, we'll leave you with this. Last year to this year, do you see a lot of the farmers wanting to come back and plant again?
So last year, Michigan issued just over 300 grower licenses. I think it was like 330 some grower licenses. In talking to the director of the hemp division for Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development a couple of weeks ago, Gina Alessandri, she felt like numbers in terms of license applications are fairly steady, or acreage may be down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think the number of growers probably won't be that different. I do think, though, that probably we'll see a shift in acreage, and we'll certainly see a shift in the types of hemp that people are producing in Michigan this year. So last year, 2019, without having hard numbers, I would say that 90 or 95% plus of the growers in Michigan were growing for CBD.
Wow.
This year, I think just in conversations with growers expressing their interest and what they're planning to do this year, we're going to have a very significant increase in the number of people growing hemp for grain and fiber in Michigan this year. And I think part of that is people that are new to it, maybe coming in that held off and didn't grow last year. But then there are some people also that grew for CBD last year that were somewhat concerned or disenchanted with the market aspects, and now are looking toward grain and fiber. Not that those products have established markets or value chains in Michigan or the Midwest either, but I think in some ways maybe looking to places like Canada that do have an established green hemp industry and a lot more information available and higher quality genetics available too. Mm-hmm. For some of these grain and fiber varieties versus the CBD material that we're seeing out there in the marketplace. And so I think that that will be very interesting to see kind of the mix of types of hemp and production systems that growers have out there in Michigan this year.
So, James, talk about some of the research development things you guys are doing up there in Michigan.
Absolutely. Last year, as I mentioned, was our first year with hemp, and we focused on variety testing. Last year, we had variety trials at two locations here at the UP Research and Extension Center and then also on campus in East Lansing. Mm-hmm. And those were just grain and fiber varieties. So we sourced some of that material from Canada, some from Kentucky, and we're able to complete those variety trials. We had nine varieties here in the UP, and I think they had 15 or 16 down on campus. This year, we're expanding our program out to also look at CBD varieties, and we're doing that partially in collaboration with Shelby Ellison and UW-Madison. So we're excited to branch out a little bit this year. We'll have variety trials for CBD varieties. We'll repeat a variety trial for grain and fiber varieties. And we also have a larger project collaborating with some of our tribal nations, Bay Mills Indian Community and Bay Mills Community College here in the UP, and also the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians down in the Harbor Springs area in the northern Lower Peninsula to help answer some of their questions that they have about hemp. So we're excited to embark on those efforts and expand our research this year.
Well, and the program today, we also speak with, as you mentioned, Shelby Ellison and Philbert, oh, excuse me, Philip Alberti, Philip from the University of Illinois Extension, Shelby from Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin. You guys do work together, work quite closely with Marguerite Bolt from Purdue to put a lot of this together.
Absolutely. Actually, Marguerite is a former extension intern of mine.
I like to claim
her whenever possible. Yeah, she interned for me in my former role as an extension educator several years back, and was really happy to see when she took the position as the hemp specialist there at Purdue. So,
well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Marguerite's been an incredible aid to us as we kicked off our research program a little bit later than Purdue here at MSU. And she's participated in a lot of the outreach that we've done over this last winter and into the spring as well. So it's been great partnerships in the Midwest for hemp across all of our land grant institutions, and happy to be a part of that for sure.
All right. Once again, James D. Decker, Director of Michigan State University Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center. A mouthful, but James, you gave us quite a bit of information there, some great information today, and we really do appreciate it. The one last question I have for you, today being Thursday, the day that we actually released the podcast here, it's about 80 degrees in Indianapolis. What's the temperature up there in the Northern Peninsula of Michigan today?
Boy, yeah, it's a pretty gray, rainy day today. I think we're around maybe 50 degrees or something at best. Oh. It's a pretty cool one. We've had quite a cool spring so far. We're a bit behind as far as that goes. So,
well, hopefully we can push some of this warm weather up your way.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
All right. Once again, James D. Decker, Director of Michigan State University Upper Peninsula Research and Extension Center. It's been a great conversation, and we certainly hope we can get you back on here this summer and get some updates from you, James.
Great talking with you, Jason. Thanks for having me.
All right, as we continue on, we're speaking with Philip Alberti. Philip is the agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Philip, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thanks for being back with us. We did have you on in February this year, and we covered some things there going on in Illinois, but things have changed all over the country, certainly in Illinois. Philip, give us a little update on what's happening. Right now, we're at the time where people are planting. Where is Illinois at right now with the hemp industry?
Well, you know, this is the third year that I've been in Illinois, and in the first year, I think we're actually, at least in my portion of the state, ahead of schedule or on schedule with our corn and soybean planting. So, you know, a much needed, I think, relief for a lot of our growers up here in this portion of the state, getting most of our corn in already, and a lot of our beans are being planted. So that's going to free some things up for us, hopefully, to get you know, a lot of our field operations and prep ready for hemp. You know, I mean, we're at a point right now where it's a little too early, most likely, to get your hemp planted or transplanted in the ground. That's probably going to happen in this area, probably into June. But that's great. If we can get a lot of our other stuff done ahead of time and not be rushing going into getting this hemp planted in Illinois, that would be great.
Well,
especially after last year, we had to move quickly. And this year, we might have a little bit more time to kind of get prepared and think things through ahead of time.
Well, Mother Nature has certainly been kind to us so far this spring, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that that she's going to be kind the rest of the summer.
I'm an optimist, Jason, so I believe that.
Well, let's talk about the grain and fiber. What's going on there as far as applications to grow? What are we looking at there?
We're in a very experimental stage when it comes to hemp grain and fiber. I think you talk to a lot of people who've been around this for the last year or so, they're very interested. You know, a lot of our corn and soybean growers, they want to maybe give hemp fiber a try. That might be more fitting into their production system, just given the equipment. You know, it's much more like a small grains operation, or then fiber is much more like a hay operation than what we're accustomed to. But the reality is just processing's not there yet, and we're still figuring out which varieties are going to grow best here and kind of when we need to get these things planted, get them harvested, and then ultimately, you know, making sure that we're going to have a product that will fit specifications of a processor. So it's all these moving parts, and they're happening. You know, there's several grower groups across the state of Illinois and they're working with University of Illinois to get some plots going, to gather information. And then there's several, you know, private entities and other grower co-ops who are trying to look to maybe build a decorticator to put into, you know, certain parts of the state. So it's just so early, but there are a lot of things. You know, I'll be really curious to answer that question in a couple of years and to say what's happened. But right now it's all, we're just figuring it out and taking our time doing it.
Last year, a lot of the farmers jumped on the CBD production thinking that's where the money was going to be. Then we found out a lot of the farmers are still sitting on what they produced. Do you have some sort of a breakdown of the say, the growers that are more interested in the grain and fiber versus CBD? Do we have an equal balance there, or did you have any idea?
You know, I think that's a little tough to say. I think, you know, there's definitely some crossover just because of farmer ingenuity and being able to say, hey, we're going to take, you know, these row crop production practices and try to grow CBD that way. And vice versa. We had some, you know, specialty growers who tried a more mechanical approach this year. So I think it's a little hard to say, you know, which way they're leaning. You know, I can tell you, I think honestly, a lot of these cases, I think we're going to have people who are growing a little bit less this year than they grew last year if they do stay on. Mm-hmm. You know, we might see a number of these acreage that each farmer is growing shrink. Now, that's speculation. That's just after talking with a lot of growers on kind of what their thoughts are. And even if they say, hey, we might actually grow a little bit more this year, it's not going to be considerably more. You know, so I think we just need to figure out where this fits in. You know, it's a new crop, so where does it fit in terms of acreage that we need, or how many acres for you to be, you know, productive, profitable? I think it's just a long way off to really know for sure, but mm-hmm. I think it's we just got to be patient and start small.
You know, when we talked last time, you had a little over 600 cultivation licenses that were approved for 2020. Again, that was in February or early March. Do you have any idea where that number stands right now?
So as of March, I know that we still had about 650, and a lot of those were carryovers from last year. So it's hard to say. I know they'll have a license, they'll have paid to see who actually gets planted. I won't know yet, but I'll tell you right now. We ended up planting, actually getting in the ground, about 7,200 acres in the state of Illinois from 22,000 licensed. So it's going 22 to 7 is a lot. It's a big jump from what you thought you were going to plant to what we got planted. And then of those 7,200, you know, only about 5,000 acres got harvested for CBD. So, you know, that's a huge jump. That's a quarter of the acres we expected to grow. We didn't grow and ultimately get harvested, right? So I'm really curious. You know, I'm really curious to see what those overall acres are. Do we have an increase in the number of applications and a decrease in acres? Do the acres stay the same? It's going to be really kind of interesting, but unfortunately, we won't know until the IDOA releases those, probably not sometime later in the summer.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Philip Alberti, agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. And you guys work with, am I correct? You work mainly with three specific counties there in Illinois, Stevenson, Winnebago, and Joe Davies County. Is that correct?
That's where I'm housed, but, you know, as of this hemp thing has taken off, I kind of go wherever in the state they need me, but that's usually where I'm at, in that northwest corner. The university was just very responsive and accepting of the amount of interest that we had and said, hey, go out and do what you need to do as educational programs, you know, travel to people's fields, speak with them. If you're going to be doing speaking engagements, spend a day out there and see who else has plots that you can go take a look, you know, so they were very encouraging to let me go out and do that, which is, you know, it wasn't what my job description was 18 months ago. And then they said, hey, this is responsive. We need this. This is a need. Go out and do it. So they were very great. You know, as far as in person, we're going to have to shake things up a bit, you know, naturally with everything going on. But we're still out there. We're still I'm still making farm visits. It's just we have different set of protocols that we're following.
And I bet those protocols were quite a bit different from, again, what you were thinking was going to happen in February, early March. And then with the coronavirus hitting, that had to certainly change the way you were approaching this spring.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, from a research perspective and being realistic with our goals and what we want to accomplish, and then ultimately just knowing that we're not going to be able to have as much interaction or the type of interaction that we're used to. But we're adapting, and you know, it's I think it's we're still going to find ways to make it work. You know, that's what a lot of these educational meetings and these collaborations, you know, that we have right now with, you know, UW-Madison and Michigan State and Purdue, and we're all working together right now to, you know, to develop what is essentially going to be the same research protocol. So we're gathering the same data across the region, which is tremendous, right? So, you know, we're finding ways to adapt to what's going on, and we're still going to be there to answer people's questions and help them get through, you know, their agriculture issues. It's just going to take a little bit of a different form.
Now, Philip, you guys have a grower spotlight series going on. Tell us about that, how people can get involved, and what that's all about.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. So the Hemp Grower Spotlight, it's essentially serving as an opportunity for growers to come together to discuss industrial hemp. You know, we've had speakers come in to talk about the more mechanical aspects of production where they've direct seeded. We've even had some folks come in who are from more of the specialty crop or vegetable cut flower background, and where they're growing more of a transplant or clones. This past week we had Half Moon Hemp from Indiana on to discuss, you know, clonal propagation. So we're trying to just hit a bunch of areas of production that maybe we didn't have enough time to really focus on this last year, as we were just kind of figuring out, you know, what is hemp.
Sure.
So we're really excited to have these resources available, and it's not only a video for you to watch and kind of hear from these other people, but also you know how to get a hold of them, to ask them questions and to reach out to them. And so it's really just another one of these programs that we put together to really try to connect people as we learn more about hemp.
And
those videos can be...
Now, I'm sorry, I was just going to ask you, where can folks go to get those? And are these live videos that then are archived, or are they all just archived?
That's great. So they're actually going to be available on our website at go.illinois.edu/spotlight, and all of the videos will be archived there. Now, the benefit of these is that, yes, we do get to film them live. We get to have interaction and a Q&A session with our speakers and the audience. And then we get to go in, we recorded these, we edit them, and then we put them online so people can go back in and take a look at them if for some reason they're not able to join the program. But again, you know, the benefits of these is being able to ask any question you want throughout these programs and really spark in these conversations.
Is this a Zoom conversation, or how are you guys putting this out there?
Yes, this is going to be a Zoom webinar series, and so every time that we put a new one out, it'll be a quick registration online. You'll get a Zoom invite via email, and then you'll be able to join from there.
All right, and again, Philip, tell us one more time where they can get this information and where they can find out more about the Grower Spotlight series.
Absolutely. You can find the information about the Hemp Grower Spotlight on our website, go.illinois.edu/spotlight. Where you also find links to upcoming events, and anytime we have a new one, that's going to be the place to look to find it.
Well, there we go. Well, Philip, we certainly do appreciate all your work in the hemp industry, and it sounds like you actually have a pretty exciting job to be able to get out there and run around and touch base with all these farmers and producers and just everybody involved in the industry. It sounds like you got a pretty cool job there.
I could not be more fortunate with how it landed at my feet, to be quite honest. And yes, it is absolutely, it's a blast every day. I get to help people, and at the front line of a new industry, it's a great job. I'm a lucky person.
Well, we appreciate everything you do there in Illinois, Philip. Once again, Philip Alberti, agriculture educator with the University of Illinois Extension. Philip, another great conversation, and we will have you back on this summer to get some more updates and find out what's going on there and get the progress report from you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always great to talk.
All right. You have a fantastic day, Philip.
Yeah, you too, Jason. Take care.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.